Butt back in my butt.
Hello there, and welcome back. We were just talking about AI-generated songs, and the reason why Matthew D. Smith was saying something about his butt and trucks is because that's what country singers sing about these days, apparently, according to AI-generated songs. Matthew, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. Fortunately, I'm not AI-generated, so I don't have a gun up my butt while I drive my truck.
Of course we don't. Of course we don't. But that was not a pun intended, by the way. That was just a pure coinkydink saying but. So
if you look at the transcription, you'll notice it's but with one T.
One T and not two T's.
So don't worry, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't make that podcast these days, could you, Leslie? You couldn't say but on a podcast these days. Maybe back in the 70s. Back when Mel Brooks made movies and Jerry Seinfeld did stuff.
He was stand up.
he was just a little kid then. What is the deal with crayons?
One day I'm going to make a movie about butt darts.
Why do I sound like Mickey Mouse?
Speaking of the mouse, Mouse is in a big company, and we're talking about companies today. What a segue. Welcome to Chatting Pitch. We are talking about stuff, which we do every week. And this week, we're talking about stuff that has to do with movies, which is every week. And this week...
You know, regular listeners will know this. That was actually the pre-recorded introduction Leslie puts on every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. Which makes me want to make that a pre-recorded segment now.
We'll do that from now on.
That exact moment there, I'll chop that out, and every week I'll put it in. I can't remember what I said now.
You could have speaking of, and then you could just take something that we've made in that week's episode. Yeah. Speaking of butts, speaking of mouse.
Speaking of trucks. But this week we are talking about, I guess, movie studios, because recently in the news, Sony, the big company, specifically Sony Pictures, is it? I don't know. I actually don't know that much about this, but I do know that Sony recently bought out Paramount, which is another film studio. And
yeah,
I guess we talk about that for a bit. Cue the jingle. And we're back after the jingle.
I up my butt.
I'm driving my truck. If you don't know what we're referencing, there is an AI-generated song out there about trucks and butts, and it's so juvenile. Matthew hasn't heard it, but...
I haven't heard it, but I love it. It's my favourite song. I do have to say, though, before we start talking, this is something that AI doesn't have to deal with. I've got my washing machine on, mm-hmm. So I figure this is a good enough excuse to try... and regular listeners will know this, that every week I try and find the perfect place to record, because... my recording quality is nowhere near as good as Leslie's. And I've taken Leslie's advice. Leslie's a music man. You know, he writes his own songs about guns and butts
and
trucks.
Butts and trucks, yeah.
I promise that's the last time I'll reference that. So he's given me some advice. So I'm going to try a new place right now.
Go for it.
I'm just going to move my things here. Because
I hope to God it's on top of the washing machine.
That's next week.
Are you doing it outside?
I'm doing it outside because I'm taking your advice.
Yes.
Because you said, Leslie Way.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You said that it was ideal to have a location to record in a room that had lots of stuff.
Right.
Record in a location that had lots of stuff. Because the sound bounces off it and that makes it gooder.
Okay.
So I figure, why not record outside? Because outside has everything. It has all the things. And my sound will be bouncing off. I've got blades of grass. I've got a fence. I've got, can you hear the birds singing? Shut up, birds! Birds singing. And all the people that are outside, all the sound's going to be bouncing off them as well. I've asked them to be quiet. so they won't interrupt.
So
right, I figured before, this should be the best quality recording that we've ever had.
Right before we started recording, we had two topics of conversation. One was, why is your washing machine on? And I could not foresee that that was a setup for a joke that would happen during the recording of the podcast. The joke has happened now, or it's not a joke.
There's not even any clothes in the washing machine. Leslie, I don't even wear clothes. You may not know this about me. Regular listeners might know. Maybe we've put some clues in there. Irregular listeners might not know. I'm not really sure where to go with that.
He doesn't wear clothes.
I am wearing clothes.
I know where to go with it. So from what I'm seeing, listeners at home, you can't...
Speaking of the Sony Paramount deal.
Well, listeners at home, they can't see.
Some of you listeners might not be wearing any clothes, and you're listening to Chatting Pitch.
101.1, Chatting Pitch. Where I was leading with that joke was the fact that clearly from my untrained eyes, it looks as if Matthew is wearing a t-shirt, but... I guess I'm wrong because
I painted it on like 300.
Matthew doesn't wear clothes, so it must be painted on or tattooed. Or he has
a lot of
skin.
In here.
He has this condition where his skin looks like clothes.
I have a skin condition that prints out Marvel Avengers.
Yeah,
my stomach.
You might want to be a little bit closer to the microphone now because I just heard a plane go by.
Yeah, I didn't factor that in. I live very close to an airport.
I think maybe it might be good for you to just hold the microphone if that's okay.
How about that?
Yeah, that's perfect. Great. The more you can obscure your face with that pop shield, the better.
I'm going to stay outside because I'm going to commit to the bit.
Yes, yeah, please do.
Committing to the bit.
If anything, I think it is quite refreshing. No, I can smell the freshly cut blades of grass through the microphone. I can feel the gusts of wind from the Boeing 575s flying over your house. Speaking of flying, isn't Sony Pictures responsible for one of the biggest blockbusters of the past 2 years?
Yeah, speaking of, Maverick. Speaking of planes. I'm really struggling because I've got hay fever as well.
Do you want to go back inside, Matthew?
I think, Leslie, this was a really bad idea. You've had some stinkers in the past, but my goodness.
Hang on a second.
No, I'm going to commit to
the bit. You're throwing me under the bus for your own.
Yeah, I'm throwing you under the bus.
Are you going back indoors or are you staying outside?
No, I'm here now and I'm incredibly lazy.
Okay. Have you had your dose of Benadryl or whatever it is that you take?
I've had my... store brand, whatever it is, one a day thing. You know what? I've got some relatives visiting, and they came up with the most in-depth way of dealing with hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggested just doing what I normally do, which is take the medicine and put some Vaseline on my nose, mm-hmm. which I'm sure listeners without hay fever will be delighted to know.
I've heard of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it works wonders. But my nan decided to just ignore all that and go really into detail about putting a hose up your nose.
And what kind of hose?
Do you mean like ladies
like
of
garden,
the night?
Like a garden hose? But no.
Oh, okay. No, just funny. A tiny
please.
Hose.
Yeah, yeah.
Please, not any continue. Ladies of the night, not a garden hoe.
It took me a second, Matt, but yeah, go ahead.
What did she say? She said to put a hose up your nose and to like pump water through it.
Yes.
Pump water through it because then it cleans out your nose.
Mm-hmm.
It's feel
also
like that's
known as a neti pot. Have you ever heard of a neti pot?
That's what she called it, a neti pot. It sounded to me like a reverse enema.
It looks as gross as it sounds, and I've seen people use it before, and what you do is you put the neti pot up one nostril and then you pour it in and it comes out the other nostril.
That's now, it.
I don't know how this works. I've never tried it before. I don't want to try it. So I think you should try it.
Lie. Chatting bitch. I'll get
the first ever podcast recording featuring a neti pot.
The name does not
It must be Latin or something. I don't know.
Neti pot.
Yeah. we should come up with our own version. The chatting pot.
The pitcher pot. What is that?
Fighter pilot?
It sounds like one of those small, like the twin engine planes. Like, you know the.
You live right next to an airport, don't you?
I live right next to an airport. Yeah, this was a bad idea.
It's okay. Let's just keep it in. Let's keep it in. So we're talking about Sony Paramount. What happened? Sony bought out Paramount. Why? Because of money. We've never heard this happen before. No,
we've never heard of money. What's Mickey his money?
Mouse. Mickey Mouse bought out a fox once, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or something.
Why are we talking about this? Well, it's because it's in the news and it's a good topic of conversation. But before we get into that...
Go on.
I think before we get into that, I just want to kind of do a little bit of a catch-up and see, has there been any interesting things we've watched recently? I have. There's one that I watched the other day. It was sort of interesting, but it also wasn't that interesting.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay, so I watched that movie called The Fall Guy.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the video game Fall Guys, which is about a bunch of minion-looking people. You ever seen that? Quite a fun game.
Is that the one where you have to accuse, you have to find the killer?
No, that would be...
That is
Among Us, yeah.
What's the Fall Guys then?
Fall Guys, oh.
What do you have to find?
Imagine the minions. Imagine those little tic-tac looking blokes with arms and legs.
And tic-tac geezers, yeah.
You are one of many and you have to not fall off the platform.
So instead of find the killer, it's find your feet.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
And so I can only... The only comparison I can draw is Takeshi's Castle.
Okay.
You have seen that
Wonderful
show.
Wonderful program. Yeah. Yes.
So you are basically playing Takeshi's Castle as a minion, and you are against 100 people. And it's like last man standing. It's actually quite fun. Not to be confused with that Fall Guys, but this one is based on... Was The Fall Guy fun? So here's my problem with it, okay? I could see what they were doing. They had two actors from arguably two of the biggest movies of the past 2 years, right? So you had Barbie that came out. You have Oppenheimer that came out. Both of those actors, so we've got Ryan Gosling and we've got Emily Blunt. They're both from two of the biggest movies last year, and they put them together and they're doing some rom-com action romp that, you know, it's a recipe for success, right? However, apparently, it kind of tanked. It bombed. It didn't make its money back. It was about, I don't know what the box office figures were, but it was a lot less than what the budget was.
$100.
So I watched it and I could see what they were doing. However, I personally felt like a lot of the jokes fell quite flat, no pun intended.
Okay.
However, the last half an hour was quite entertaining. I quite liked the last half an hour because it was building up to a climax and you kind of saw where it was going in many ways. But I just found myself watching the first hour and a half just thinking, I wish these jokes were funnier.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard it relies a lot on the chemistry between Blunt and Gosling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that's accurate?
If you want to say chemistry, I guess it's kind of... I mean, in a way, they did have chemistry because we're led to believe that they were in a relationship. So, you know, if anyone doesn't know what the story is about, it's a stuntman who, does millions of stunts for loads of movies. And then one day... You okay there? Sorry, the audience couldn't see this, but he was putting some sort of weird lizard face.
I was testing my microphone, or as we say in the biz, we call it a mic.
Yes, yes.
You may not know that if you're not in the biz.
And if you were in the biz, do you remember this pop quiz? What did they call this on the studio floor? These things.
What things?
These things.
I've got so much glare.
Oh, the things on my ears right now. What do they call them on the studio floor?
Oh, they call them can man.
Yes, you remember very well. Anyway, yeah, moving swiftly back
biz onto... means we'll put it in the notes. Biz means business.
Yeah. It also means... No, I'm lost with that one. I was going to come up with something else, but yeah. What was I talking about?
We were talking about the Fall Guy.
That's it.
I got the impression from the trailer that it was going to be Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. Not to be too much of a downer, because I only saw the trailer, but the trailer gave me the impression that it was going to be two people with great chemistry who were saying things as if they were jokes, but they weren't actually jokes.
Okay.
Would that be accurate?
Give me an example of what you think that is.
I can't, because the lines are just so benign. When you look at a script and things are being said in a way where it's okay, this sounds like the way you are selling, the way that you are delivering this line, it sounds like it's supposed to be a funny joke,
mm-hmm.
but you're just saying a thing.
Yes. Yes. So here's what I felt like I could compare this to. It felt a lot like what the Big Bang Theory does, where they say things, and just because there's a laugh track, it's supposed to be funny.
Okay.
But it's, newsflash, it's never funny. In my opinion. In my opinion, I've never found Big Bang Theory funny. And
it's very successful, made lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Money doesn't mean it's good, though.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah, money doesn't mean it's good. But in this case, it didn't make its money back, but critics are raving about it for some reason.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch this movie. Like, there are entertaining parts about it, but I just found myself for the first an hour and a half just feeling quite bored.
Like, okay.
There were great action set pieces, but I just didn't feel that invested with the story. The jokes weren't really landing for me. So I just didn't really know who this was for.
Okay. Was it the almost like an exercise in stunt performance?
Potentially, because the director, David Leitch, he's actually done some quite good movies in the past. Like, excuse me. I have seen some of his stuff. I haven't seen Bullet Train, which is the one that came out a couple of years ago. And I haven't seen, there are others, but didn't he direct Deadpool 2? I think he did that one. And he co-directed John Wick, actually.
The first one. Yes. He had a lot of involvement with John Wick.
So, you know, I really liked the first John Wick, as we all know from, three episodes ago with Ray Fiennes. And his thing with that.
Where we tried to make a movie that was not great. It's harder than you think. We should applaud these movie studios that make middling, perfectly acceptable, but not actually that great movies. It's harder than you think.
Yeah. And
speaking to them. Give them a raise.
Hey, movies have props. Moving on. So you... you can go and watch it if you like. I personally was a little bit disappointed. I think I just had high hopes for it because I was like, love Ryan Gosling as an actor. I think he's great. He's got good comedic chops. Emily Blunt, great as well. I've seen her in many movies, but there's just something wasn't quite right about it. And I don't know if it was just one big in joke from Hollywood that was like, stunt performers go through this thing, and this is like what it's like for us to be on the set.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those moments.
Okay.
And it just didn't resonate with me, even though I got the jokes. Like, I got them, I just didn't find them funny.
Okay.
But that's my review.
All right.
Anyway, what have you watched recently?
Very middling.
Very middling.
Very middling.
Have you watched anything?
Not much of note, apart from I think we've talked about this outside of recording. We've both been watching Baby Reindeer.
Yeah, we've been watching and have finished watching, and we'll probably never watch again.
Well, I remember you saying that you binge watched it. I could not do that.
No.
I specifically said in my review that it was not one to binge watch. It is hard. It is a really well made show.
Yeah, but it's also very difficult to watch. Very dark. It's a true story. I don't know. After watching it, it stuck with me, and it's kind of hard to like shake that feeling off. I had the same thing watching the Jeffrey Dahmer show that came out.
The Jeffrey Dahmer show?
Yeah.
Was he a host of Late Night or something?
Welcome to these lucky contestants. No, I had the same feeling watching the
number
Jeffrey...
one. Let me talk your ear off and eat it.
So, yeah, I don't know. There are certain shows that I watch where it's so dark and gritty that, and they're always like based on true stories, and it leaves me feeling very unsettled after watching it. I don't know if you have the same experience.
I wasn't so much unsettled. I just had a feeling of almost, even though at the end, the character in theory gets, I don't think this is too much of a spoiler, but I guess skip this bit if you want to know nothing. At the end, he does in a sort of way, in one part of his life, the main character does get a bit of closure and he does get what he wants.
Yeah.
But at the same time, getting that leaves an incredibly sad, demoralizing situation.
Yes. Yeah. It's not something that you can just walk away from, even though you have the closure, it sticks with you, right?
Yes.
And maybe that was the point of the show. Like, it's stuck with me, even after finished watching it. I think yesterday I finished watching it.
Right.
So it's still quite fresh in my mind. But yeah, what a harrowing story.
Yes. And the bit, this is definitely a spoiler, so we'll mark it in the time codes. But the bit right at the end where he goes to the courtroom to see Martha being sentenced, or no, not sentenced, but whatever the parlance is, she's in the courtroom and she's pleading guilty to everything. But you can see in his face he realizes she is not going to get the help that she needs, so she's going to suffer for years. For however long she's in jail for, and then she'll come out, and I don't know. I guess there's a likelihood that she'll do it again to someone else,
potentially.
And then the cycle just continues. I think there's also a little comment on that: the fact that yes, what she did was completely wrong. She assaulted him in all manner of ways, but at the same time, she was mentally ill, and she needed help.
I think I saw something on, I don't know how much merit I can give this, but I think it was on some sort of tabloid YouTube channel.
Right.
It could have been Daily Star or Daily Mail or something like that, but apparently the character that Martha was based on, you know, obviously a real person, has denied everything and said, like, I never went to jail, I never stalked him. I never done all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of lies, and I haven't spoken to this person in X amount of years. The person being our main character, Donnie, real actor's name, Josh, Richard Gadd, I think
Richard
his name
Gadd,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if what the show was saying is true, then that's completely in line with the character of what
I think
was.
that's the problem that you have when it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
When you have that word based.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could just
be that you're watching something and the names are the same.
Well, I looked it up.
The Coen brothers famously put based on a true story in front of Fargo, which isn't. They just put it in as a gag.
Oh, okay.
I mean, So I do think you do have to watch it with that in mind.
Yeah.
But I think even if what this real life person, if she was the stalker, even if what she's saying is true, I do think the show does a good job of not being too on the nose with making that commentary about, okay, but she's just going to get locked up and she's going to do it again. And it's just this horrible cycle that's going to, every so often, someone new is going to get bought into, someone new is going to be assaulted or stalked or whatever. Whereas actually all of these people need help. Because, you know, Donnie Dunn, after the courtroom scene, there isn't any scene where he's getting any support from what happened.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, you were being stalked and we've locked the stalker away.
Yeah.
Job done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he clearly went through a lot of stuff, not just with her. I don't know. It's a lot to unpack. It's a lot, like you say, it sticks with you.
Yeah.
It's a lot to unpack. Should we maybe move on to, we were talking about middling.
Anyway, middling sci-fi movies.
Boy, I think we need a new jingle, Leslie, where we just.
It goes from dark and ominous to suddenly like a crescendo's into like, woo, look, we're doing something.
Like a circus theme.
Yeah.
If I could just have a clown run through my back garden right now, that'd be great. No,
okay. I'll edit in a sound of a clown car just going past.
Hey, Gary.
Cool. So, yeah,
because we're going to talk about some other news, weren't we?
We're going to talk about Sony and Paramount. So I guess that's a good way to segue into the next segment, which is Sony Paramount. Matthew has decided to talk about something else now.
Seamless. There I was thinking, yeah, let's talk about Sony Paramount and we'll talk about this other thing at the same time. And
so has this particular...
Matthew decides to completely derail the podcast.
Has
first he goes
actor...
outside and talks about how his fence needs a new paint job.
Matthew, I'm trying to help you here.
I wish I had time to put more paint on, because then that would be more stuff, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to help you out.
More paint on the fence.
Matthew.
I should have got my son's toys out as well. That would have been more things. Is that how it works? If the sound bounces off more things, every time it bounces, it gets gooder.
Can I say something?
Are you in a correct recording space?
Yes, I am. You know what? I'll tell you this after. I'll tell you this after. Like, we'll talk about thing, because I don't want to put you on the spot.
Leslie knows how to build tension.
That's it.
Put me on the spot. Like... I'm clearly someone who doesn't care. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, when you make a joke,
right,
and you stick to the joke, and no matter what I say, your joke carries on. Reminds me a lot of how I have conversations with my dad, where he won't stop his train of thought. That was just my observation.
I think this should be a regular part of Chatting Pitch, which is Leslie telling stories about watching movies with his dad. Because I don't think we've shared any of these on any of the podcast episodes, but he would just be the most fabulous man to go to the cinema with. Yes, I can't say that and not hear a story. Yes.
Okay, sure. All right. So, the first one that comes to my mind is a story that I have told you before. And this wasn't in the cinema, but this was at home. And me and my dad were watching The Raid, which is a, I want to say...
Touching, based on a true story.
Yeah. I want to say it's Indonesian. Don't quote me on this, but I think it's an Indonesian movie based on I think it's like a SWAT team who go into a building and they have to work their way up to the big boss at the top of the building, and it's great.
If anyone has seen Judge Dredd, there was a lot of stories around the time about how the two films basically have the same premise.
They were very, very similar. It was Die Hard or in a building. Which was the first Die Hard. So It was,
they say this film is Die Hard, but with Bruce Willis.
So the story goes, I was watching The Raid with my dad, and then it got to a scene where someone was doing hand-to-hand combat with a knife. And he was doing these crazy moves, and then all of a sudden, my dad says, pause the movie. And I was like, okay, right. So I paused the movie.
You know it's going to be good when the when person says, pause the movie.
So he runs into the kitchen and grabs a butter knife and comes back and says, Leslie, hold this. Okay, try to stab me. And I just thought, whoa, hang on a second.
Whoa.
We were just watching a movie about this and you want me to stab you? Why, Dad? Why? Why would you want me to do this? And he says to me, I want you to try to stab me. So
imagine what happens if you watched Eat, Pray, Love with him.
I want you to try.
Kiss
I
me.
Want you to try
Kiss
and eat, eat my head. So what he did was he wanted me to pretend to stab him so that he could demonstrate a move on deflecting a knife.
Okay.
So I hesitantly tried to stab him with a butter knife halfway through the raid, and he deflected it, but then he said, no, stab me properly.
faster, harder.
Yeah, stop trying to stab me and stab me. So I, you know, I went in, and then he, you know, deflected it, and then he said, now that's the way to deflect a knife. And I was like, cool, Dad, can we carry on watching the movie? And he said yes. So we sat back
halfway
down.
Through the movie, he paused the movie and said, Leslie, get my car keys.
Get my gun. I want you to shoot me.
It's like that scene from The Prestige, shoot me.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a story of the time I watched The Raid with my father.
Wonderful.
And it was funny.
Thank you, Leslie.
Anyway, moving on.
What were we talking about?
We're going to inception this and go out of the limbo. We're going to go back to one more level, and then we're going to go back to the original level. So level number two, you wanted to talk about an actor that recently was in the news.
Yes. Right?
And I tried to, while you were doing your jokes, I tried to bring it back in and relate it to what we were saying and saying, has this actor been in any Sony or Paramount pictures?
Ah, I do not know, because I do not enjoy his movies.
None of them?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, you know what? You know what? And this is a clue for who we're talking about. I do really enjoy Pain and Gain.
Okay.
And
sure.
I think this actor is one of many very good things in a movie.
Have you seen The Rundown, aka Welcome to the Jungle?
I haven't seen that.
Is that a good movie?
There are two versions. It's entertaining. Well, yeah, there's The Rundown where he's running everyone down. Mm-hmm. And then there's Welcome to the Jungle where they CGI that guy from Last Action Hero where he's carrying the snacks. And he's like,
and he gets sucked into a game. Gets sucked into a game and he's
and Jack Black's there.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jack Black do his impression of Dwayne Johnson?
Yes, I have.
It's outstanding. If anyone hasn't seen it, do look it up. It's on the press tour for Jumanji.
I love Jack Black. I think he's great. And I think he is, you know, I think at the moment he's obviously doing a lot of voiceover work with Kung Fu Panda and all that kind of stuff, which I've never been a fan of. I've never really watched the movies. But I think aside from that, like he's been kind of crushing it with just... I think what helps is that he's just a very humble guy as well. Like, he's not big-headed at all. Physically, he has quite a big head, I think.
But I think that...
And a great big bushy beard!
He comes across as someone who knows what he's in.
Yes.
He is... Yeah, okay. I'm not saying that he makes himself look stupid. There are moments where he is, you know, trying to make himself look cool, but it's mm-hmm. for the movie. It's not for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
when he tries to make himself look cool, it's more about poking fun of himself.
Yes.
More than anything, and that's why I think Conan O'Brien is great as a comedian/talk show host, because most of the time when he makes a joke is always at the expense of himself.
Yes.
He's not making fun of the other people. He's making fun of himself. Yeah.
And if he is making fun of the other person, he is fully aware that they are on board with it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so he brings them in on it.
Talk to me. You want to talk about Dwayne Johnson? What's he
talking about? Yeah, those of you who are listening may have heard the boop, boop of a giant lorry. And that was
that was Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson backing up. There he is. He's backing up into my driveway because I'm going to say some things. But
what this means, right?
My back gate is too small for him to get in.
You know what this means? It means that I am not allowed to do any audio processing on your microphone now. I have to keep all those noises in. So thanks for that. Genuinely, thanks for that. It gives me less work to do.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. We're all about efficiency here at Chatting Pitch.
Ah, Jumanji. That's a Sony Pictures movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All sorry, right, what's Dwayne done?
We'll use that in.
What's Dwayne done?
Well, this is a story. If we don't get around to pitching ideas, I'd like to pitch a news story for you. And the headline is Yellow Notice, Drain The Rock's Johnson. Because The Rock...
Wow. Did you come up with that? Okay, go ahead.
I came up with that several hours ago. I've been tweaking it. That was maybe the sixth or seventh draft.
Okay.
He is making some headlines recently. Mm-hmm. For a couple of things, I almost think you have to talk about them separately because one is the allegations of diva-ish behavior in that he is turning up to set very late. And I think that's a thing that has happened, you know, with lots of different actors, famous stories about diva-ish behavior where, okay, I'm turning up late. But the second part of the story, which if it's true, quite frankly, is very alarming, is that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has been accused of urinating into plastic bottles because there's, I don't know why actually. I think that for me, if anyone's read the story, it's The Wrap that covered it. Mm-hmm. And the issue with these sorts of stories, of course, is that none of the sources are named. So, in theory, I'm not saying that this is what happened, but in theory, anyone could have just made this story up.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know what your opinion of it is, Leslie, and that is all we're doing. We're just two people who live completely outside that world, so we don't know. But it just comes across as very bizarre that even as diva-ish behavior, urinating in a bottle just seems a bit... Because if you want to be, you know, the guy who's walking around trying to display his power and his, you know, I'm the big guy here, I'm the top dog, you'd get a VIP bathroom, wouldn't you?
So my opinion on that would be, and before I do that, let me just... I'm not sure if you can see this, but I just need to... I need to quickly take a leak here in this here. I've been standing there for a whole 2 minutes waiting to do that joke. But unfortunately, you're outside and there's such too much glare. So you couldn't see me. Okay,
I could just see you pulling down your trousers. And I thought, well, Leslie's just adjusting himself. And that's fine.
Typical Leslie behavior.
Leslie wee behavior.
Hi, Matthew. What have we said about making fun of people's names?
Matthew D. Poop. What have we said?
The D stands for poop.
The D stands for defecation. Matthew Defecation Smith.
I can get the logic behind why he's peeing in bottles because he's trying to save time. However, right, he's also handing these bottles to his personal assistant to take away from him. Allegedly.
The Chatting Pitch lawyers are helping us. We have an earpiece.
Dr. Arroyo. So my opinion is that if The Rock wants to maintain his reputation, he needs to address
this. Hardest
worker in the room.
Well, that's the thing. He hasn't addressed it because he's too busy.
So hard that he's The Rock. So he's, I don't know. What happens on set can sometimes be blown out of proportion. Maybe he pees in a bottle once and people are like, the rock peas and bottles now.
Yeah, and that's turned into him, you know, look at me, I'm across the set from you, my personal assistant, and I'm going to just get some aiming here. Whoosh, whoosh, into the bottle. Yay, I'm well practiced. So
this leads me to my next point, okay? We make a movie about the biopic of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but specifically this one thing about him peeing in bottles, and then it all leads up to the moment where he pees in the bottle, and then big controversy happens.
Yes.
Tabloids. Arnold Schwarzenegger playing the role as Dwayne Johnson's water bottle handler.
It's all over me.
So I don't think that Dwayne Johnson would agree to this, but if he did, Arnold Schwarzenegger clearly has to win, right?
Yes.
By default.
Yeah, he loses at first, but at the end. And I think that's the bit Dwayne Johnson would struggle with.
Mm-hmm. So who's playing Dwayne Johnson?
Well,
Schwarzenegger plays Dwayne Johnson, and Dwayne Johnson's assistant is played by Bill Hader.
Is played by Dwayne Johnson.
They're both mo-capped by Dwayne Johnson.
So Bill Hader's really massive. He's like stretched out.
Yeah. That's it. Perfect. So we've got ourselves our movie then, huh?
We've got one movie, but let's go back to.
Yeah.
That can be the first one from Sony Mount.
Okay. And then
they'll call it the PA. And it will just be the poster will be a bottle with some yellowish liquid rolling in. Some of the liquid's not quite got in the bowl.
Yeah.
But let's talk about other potential, because we've got a lot of crossovers here.
Yeah. I reckon if we can just blitz through this.
Sure.
I've got some ideas here.
Go on.
So Paramount movies. We have, you got your Transformers. You got your Jack Reachers. You got your Sonic the Hedgehogs. Well, I'm really listing the greats here, aren't I?
Yeah. How much did they sell for again?
$10. Sony Pictures, they are responsible for such great hits like Madame Web, Kraven the Hunter, Morbius.
You're being very unfair.
Adam Driver's 65 movie about the dinosaurs in space. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. these are just classics.
So Sonic tries
Venom,
to run on the ice.
Let there
and he
be
can't.
Carnage. That's right. Okay. How about this? You pick one Paramount movie, I pick one Sony movie, and then just by random, and then those have to be some sort of crossover.
Okay. Which side am I picking, sorry?
You're picking Paramount, I'm picking Sony.
Paramount movies. Okay.
Have you got it in front of you, or are you just digging through the noggin?
I'm just going to dig through the noggin here.
Okay.
Go on, you choose.
Wait, give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to find something completely out of pocket here. Wow, this is great. Great podcast entertainment right here.
I'm going to go with one that you have not mentioned.
Okay, sure.
The J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies.
Oh, okay. Great. I'm going to go with... this is actually not... I've chosen it. I'm going to go with it. Okay. Tom Hanks, The Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
Which I watched once and I had no idea what was happening in that movie.
So is Robert... Is it Rob... What's his name?
What do you mean?
Something Langdon, the main character?
I have no idea.
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks frozen in a sort of Wrath of Khan sort of thing going on? Or...
So you're choosing Star Trek, which one?
The,
did you say?
Well,
the J.J. Abrams reboot.
I don't know if Paramount own all of them, I guess. Let's go J.J. Abrams, who directed the first two.
Or you could go Star Trek Nemesis, the one with Tom Hardy. Do you remember he was in that?
Vaguely. Yeah, I only watched that once.
I have never seen it.
Well, let's just decide. Tom Hanks, is it that he is going to be going into the Star Trek universe? As in going forward in time? Or is it the other way around? Or is it the other way around? Is there some sort of space slip paradox? And the crew of the Starship Enterprise have to work with Dr. Tom Hanks, symbologist. Doesn't sound real. If it is real, symbologist, I would change your job title.
Okay. It says on Wikipedia, Robert Langdon. Fictional character, symbology. Yeah. Symbology. So, yeah, you're right. Symbology.
Is it a real thing?
Hell if I know. Here's what I'm thinking.
I'd love to find out, but when you click symbology, it just takes you through to a series of symbol-based puzzles.
It just takes me to Google. So I'm thinking, what if it starts out like a classic The Da Vinci Code movie?
Okay.
And the more clues that he goes to unravel this code, whatever it is,
yeah,
it turns out everything is actually written in the Vulcan language.
Okay.
Like, you start getting little hints of Star Trek-isms.
Yes.
One of the
puzzles is he has to block a piece of light, and he has to do that hand symbol. That live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
As soon as he does it, you see the shadow of his hand, and then you just hear like and the stone door opens, Indiana Jones style.
And you hear the little motif of Star Trek.
Klingons. I hate Klingons. Why did it have to be Klingons?
Is Harrison Ford playing Tom Hanks
as the
symbologist?
Yeah. If only.
So Harrison Ford is Robert Langdon.
No, I think we stick with Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is your thinking man symbologist.
Tom Hanks is Harrison Ford playing Robert Langdon.
Yes. We're going to use the same technology that we used to turn Dwayne Johnson into, what was it, Steve Buscemi?
No, it was Bill Hader. Wasn't it? Yes.
Steve Buscemi.
Dwayne Johnson mocapping Steve Buscemi. That's another vehicle right there. I'd love to see that. As we go through, he's doing more and more of these puzzles. And then I guess, before you know it, he's led straight to the Enterprise, and he's like, "I've never seen symbols.
I've never seen
like
this spaceship before."
And he gets on a spaceship and he gets launched into space.
Okay.
So does
and the final after credit scene is just the Star Trek crew just making coffee.
Yeah.
They're just woken up. It's their day.
Yeah, and then you realize like he is not used to this. He can't withstand the amount of G's that Enterprise. So as soon as
because of course humans have evolved, haven't they?
Yeah,
in the same way that you know how humans have evolved to be taller,
mm-hmm,
than you know humans from the 1700s would be short compared to us. So mm-hmm, by the time Tom Hanks has jumped forward, mm-hmm, everyone on the Starship Enterprise is actually 9 feet tall.
Yes, that's
we
it.
Just haven't known that because we haven't seen any time travelers on the J.J. Abrams movies, but it's a little known fact
that
all of the characters in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies are at least 9 feet tall.
Right, so Tom Hanks is, compared to these 9 feet tall beings, he looks, to us, looks normal, but if you zoom out, he looks like a hobbit.
He is like a child.
He's like a child, yeah. Does he look like a child, or does he still look like Tom Hanks?
He still looks like Tom Hanks.
Okay. So he's got this Benjamin Button thing where he's old, but he's young. He's short.
Well, all I'm saying is that he's short, Leslie. Do you go around seeing a really, like a shorter than average person going, "Oh, where's your mummy and daddy?" Because that's a way to litigation, Leslie.
Yes.
Not very. And do you see very tall people and go, "My goodness, what old people's home did you leave?"
My goodness, you must be in the future, being that tall. You must have evolved.
Where's your uniform?
So
with the little badge.
I guess, you know, the ending to that movie would be like a big pan out, and it's kind of like the ending of a Men in Black movie where he's surrounded by aliens, but it's Tom Hanks, and it goes dun 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 dun, dun. And Tom
everybody
Hanks
now smiling. Switch.
Nod your head. Tom Hanks has come in.
Zimbala Jeep.
So yeah, that's it.
You're saying that we're going to cross these universes over, but have no interaction with them whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I think that's exactly what a studio like Sony Mount would do. They yes. would have the promise in the trailers. It would all mm-hmm. be shots of, you know, Tom Hanks and then the Star Trek crew. So of course, implying, oh, they're going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But then the only scene they share, it's like the Expendables where you, mm-hmm. know, you have Bruce Willis, Arnie and Sly, and they share the screen for all of a minute and a half. It's going to be the same where Tom Hanks only shows up for the last 30 seconds. I don't know.
Wait, if Tom Hanks only shows up in the last 30 seconds, so what's the whole movie?
Well, the whole movie... Oh, no, sorry. As in, he only shows up on the Enterprise for 30 seconds.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah. The Enterprise is actually nowhere to be found
okay.
for the entire movie, and uh-huh. all of the shots from the trailer of them getting coffee and waking up and, hey, how's the little ones? They are all from the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you have... The captain's like, warp speed, engage. And then Tom Hanks walks in, shh, through the doors. And he's like, engage your minds because I'm a symbologist. And then smash cut to credits. Directed by Ron Howard.
Did Ron Howard direct all of them?
I think he did all the Da Vinci Code ones.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't think J.J. Abrams, he didn't do all the Star Treks. He didn't do the third one.
Yeah.
So I guess...
May I ask, what's the name of this movie?
Oh. What have we got? The Da Vinci Code.
The first one's the Da Vinci Code, and there's Angels and Demons.
Angels and Demons.
One's like Dante's Inferno. I don't know. What's the third one called?
Inferno,
It's called Inferno. Dante's Inferno is the one about the volcano, right?
It's where he has to play the video game, and he has to pick apart all the symbols.
That's right. So this one would be called the Vulcan Code.
The Vulcan Code.
Star Trek. The Vulcan Code. That's a bit lame, isn't it?
Star Trek first, Tim Hanks.
Tim Hanks is Star Trek.
Tom Hanks is Star Trek. just like a madman on the street. Yeah. Tom Hanks is Star Trek. Do you think that guys should we cross the road? I mean, we've got a little kid with us. I don't want to walk past that guy. Tom Hanks is Star Trek. Tom Hanks is Star Trek. Should we just leave? No, he works for Sony Paramount.
One more time for good luck.
Tom Hanks is Star Trek.
Okay.
Just handing out flyers.
We know what the name of the episode is now. Tom Hanks is Star Trek. Great, brilliant. So I think we should wrap it up there.
Yeah, it's going to be a long episode.
Long episode, yeah.
Man, I hope it is a good one.
We trailed off quite a fair few times.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's the name of the game.
When you're outside and you're in nature, you just want to...
Vaseline all over your nose.
Yeah, Vaseline on your nose. You're not wearing any clothes. That's going to be part of the rap. Vaseline on your nose, not wearing any clothes. It's Star Trek.
And have they sampled, what's that one song? And then you go ahead and ruin it all by saying something stupid like that, Star Trek.
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like Tom Hanks is Star Trek.
The end. I'm going to get there. And then that's, outro jingle.
I'm going to go back inside because my laptop is so hot.
Chatting Pitch has been brought to you by Leslie Way and Matthew D. Smith. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to listen to others and maybe even subscribe. You can follow us on the website, formerly known as Twitter.
Listen to us on Spotify or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Leslie and Matthew have their own side hustles as well. Feel free to check out Leslie's YouTube channel or Matthew's Medium blog. Links in the description. If you want anything else, we might have other links in the description if we think of anything interesting to add. Thank you for listening. I love you.